This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
There was no armed robbery. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Friday, August 19. Glad you're with us. Here's what's up this hour.
Authorities in Brazil say swimmer Ryan Lochte and three teammates were not robbed at gunpoint. Meanwhile, the final swimmer in the scandal is making a donation to end the case so he can go home.
The State Department now describes its $400 million cash transfer to Iran as leverage to get back prisoners, but is not using the term ransom.
New developments today on the Hillary Clinton email scandal. She claims that former Secretary of State Colin Powell suggested she use private email.
And the cities where police are overwhelmed with petty and serious crimes at Walmart stores.
In some cases, they're called hundreds of times a year. The police will be called to a store three, four, sometimes six times a day for everything from shoplifting to drug paraphernalia, prostitution, a fight, you name it.
Shannon Pettypiece at Bloomberg News explains what's being called Walmart's out-of-control crime problem. She's here in about 25 minutes. Police in Brazil now say American Olympic swimmers Ryan Lochte and three of his teammates were not held at gunpoint after a night of partying, as he claimed. Instead, police said the drunk men trashed a gas station bathroom, were questioned by armed guards, then paid about $50 for damage and left. They could be charged with falsely reporting a crime and destruction of property, which could get them 6 months in jail or a fine. The local police chief, through a translator, says an apology is needed.
An apology should not be for the police officer or to me. It should be to our city, and who saw our city stained by a fantastical version.
But Rio organizer Mario Andrada struck a softer tone.
You know, let's give these kids a break. You know, you know, sometimes you take actions that you later regret.
The U.S. Olympic Committee issued a formal apology. Lochte and the other swimmers could face sanctions from USA Swimming, including fines or suspension. Two of the swimmers, by the way, were back on a plane home last night. Lochte left Brazil earlier this week. Now, breaking this morning, the fourth swimmer, Jimmy Fagan, was making an $11,000 donation to some institute to secure his freedom. Then the case, according to his attorney, will be closed and he can go home. The Obama administration is now saying that its $400 million cash payment to Iran back in January was used as leverage to gain the release of American prisoners, but it's not using the word ransom. However, State Department spokesman John Kirby yesterday confirmed that the U.S. would not permit Iran to get the cash until a plane carrying the freed Americans had taken off from Tehran.
Given the fact that Iran hadn't proved completely trustworthy in the past, it would have been imprudent and irresponsible for us to not, since we knew this payment was coming and coming soon, to not hold it up until we made sure we had our Americans out.
Presidential candidate Donald Trump, meanwhile, weighed in during remarks in Charlotte.
Hillary Clinton owns President Obama's Iran policy. One more reason she can never, ever be allowed to be president.
The White House announced in January that the U.S. would pay Iran the first installment of a $1.7 billion settlement of a failed arms deal from the 1970s, but they did not say at the time the $400 million had already been paid, and they refused to answer questions about how and when the payment took place. This was a story broken by the Wall Street Journal. Meanwhile, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump is trying a new tactic on the campaign trail. He's expressing regret. Mr. Trump didn't indicate which of his many provocative comments he regrets. One of his most recent controversies, of course, arose from his criticism of a family of a Muslim U.S. soldier who died in Iraq.
Sometimes, in the heat of debate and speaking on a multitude of issues, you don't choose the right words or you say the wrong thing. I have done that.
In another departure during remarks in Charlotte, Mr. Trump, for the fourth time in less than 2 weeks, spoke from a prepared text. He eventually did go on to attack Democratic rival Hillary Clinton and the media. In another moment of seriousness, though, he opened the speech by expressing condolences for the people of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, who've been hit by devastating floods. And he's rearranging his campaign schedule to fly to Baton Rouge today to tour the city. Well, Hillary Clinton is not breaking new ground as she delivers speeches on the presidential campaign trail these days. The strategy here? Let the recent controversies following her opponent, Donald Trump, dominate the headlines for now. As one Democratic advisor said, quote, when your opponent is committing suicide, you don't have to commit homicide. It's a story from Washington Post reporter John Wagner. John, what have you noticed?
My colleagues and I, who attend a lot of Hillary Clinton events, have noticed over the last few days and weeks that she's not really committing a lot of news, if you will. And that's a pretty deliberate calculation from the campaign. You know, we're in a period where Donald Trump has been in the headlines pretty much every day, if not multiple times a day, and often for things that aren't exactly flattering. So the Clinton campaign, I mean, she's certainly still out doing events, going to key battlegrounds, going to key communities within those key battleground states, but not really trying to compete with the headlines that Trump is generating.
Interesting. All right, so her speeches then can focus on pretty much anything she wants, since he seems to grab all the negative headlines. Is that the approach? And until that time, she's not going to change?
I think that's largely the case. For example, she gave pretty much of just a recitation of past policy proposals during a speech in Cleveland, talking about uplifting the middle class and how she would do it. But nothing she put out there was anything that she hadn't said many times before. And even last week, she gave what was billed as a big economic speech just outside of Detroit. And most of that, again, was just a recitation of previous policies with a heavy dose of criticism of Trump. And her campaign is certainly responding to news events as they occur involving Trump, but they're not really trying to generate a whole lot of storylines on their own.
Yeah. When might that change, John, if at all?
That's a good question. I mean, I think they're content to continue the strategy they're on for now. Certainly when we get to the debates, I think that will be a turning point in the race, or at least some sort of jumping off point. But they've already started building up their transition team, and you know, they will tell you they're not trying to get too far ahead of themselves or take anything for granted. Mm. But you know, some of the top policy staffers from her campaign have moved over to the transition team, which is a signal that we're probably not going to see a whole lot more new on the policy front from her as a candidate. And a lot of this now is just how you frame the race and frame the choice between the two candidates.
We're speaking with John Wagner, political reporter covering the presidential elections for The Washington Post. His piece is called "To the Clinton Campaign, the Most Powerful Weapon Against Trump is Trump." As you point out in the story, too, a couple of Hillary Clinton ads running on TV, I know that I've seen in my market here in central New Jersey, that's just kind of used Trump's own words against him, right? Or the one that's running near me is the one where he's on the Letterman program, and Letterman's grilling him about where ties and shirts are made.
Right, and the answers that Trump reluctantly gives are overseas, which kind of conflicts with his America First message and his promise to bring back manufacturing jobs when his own companies have been doing something other than that. There's another ad that's been running quite frequently where it depicts children watching Trump as he talks about, as he mocks a disabled reporter and says other controversial things, and the kids look on sort of quizzically. So you're hearing, an awful lot from Trump, some about Clinton's plans and the TV ads, but the focus really is trying to disqualify Trump in the minds of voters.
Thanks, John. Washington Post reporter John Wagner. It is 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Everyone knows that business is all about numbers. Consider the numbers the state of Michigan can offer your business, like being a top 10 pro-business state, or 2,000, the number of unnecessary regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6, Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climate, which all adds up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org.
to learn more.
Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at Dell.com/radio.
Glad you could spend some time with us on this Friday. Hillary Clinton has told investigators that former Secretary of State Colin Powell had advised her to use a personal email account. The New York Times says the account is included in the notes that the FBI gave to Congress on Tuesday. We get more now from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Mrs. Clinton and her campaign have repeatedly pointed to the use of personal email by Mr. Powell to try and explain the email controversy. But Mrs. Clinton had not said publicly that Mr. Powell personally recommended that she rely on a private account. An upcoming book says Mr. Powell told her to use her own email, as he had done, except for classified communications. Mr. Powell's office released a statement last night saying he had no recollection of the conversation. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. It is 19 minutes now after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Kashenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Olympic swimmer Ryan Lochte and 3 teammates could face punishment from USA Swimming after lying about a drunken evening in Rio. Lochte had claimed that he and his teammates had been robbed at gunpoint in a taxi, but it turns out that the 4 intoxicated swimmers had vandalized a gas station bathroom and then paid about $50 for the damage after armed security guards tried to hold them until police arrived. Rio State Police Chief Fernando Veloso spoke through a translator.
One of them has confirmed this version. So that's one more element that effectively confirms this version.
Meanwhile, word coming out this morning that Jimmy Fagan agreed to donate about $11,000 to a Brazilian charity to get out of the country. In Olympic action, American Ashton Eaton has retained his title as the best all-around athlete in the world by tying the decathlon Olympic record. For Jamaican track star Usain Bolt last night brought a gold medal in the 200 meters.
Here's Bolt. He makes it look easy. Bolt, 200 triple.
Bolt's time was short of his own world record. Scenes of destruction are everywhere. After a huge wildfire sped through mountains and high desert 60 miles east of Los Angeles so swiftly that it took seasoned firefighters off guard. But the day also brought the biggest gains yet against the blaze, with containment jumping from 4% to 22%. It could be a first for Donald Trump, at least during this presidential campaign. Trump says he regrets some of the caustic comments he's made that may have caused people pain.
But one thing I can promise you this, I will always tell you the truth.
At a rally in Charlotte last night, Trump did not specify which comments he regrets. And in a study of the world's 140 major cities, no U.S. city makes the top 10 list for most livable. Australia and Canada dominate the annual list compiled by the Economist Intelligence Unit. Melbourne comes in number one, followed by Vienna, Vancouver, Toronto, and Calgary. Criteria included healthcare availability, social and religious restrictions, quality of public transport, and threat of terror attack.
This is 140 cities.
Yes.
And the U.S. did not make the top 10.
Did not.
I see.
We can move to Canada.
The survey brought to you by Moscow and others.
Oh, come on.
It's 22 minutes now after the hour. On this morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Here's an e-commerce mystery. Ever wonder why the smallest items that you order online come to your door in the biggest of boxes sometimes? Wall Street Journal reporter Brian Baskin has a look at why this happens. Brian, you noticed this personally.
So a couple weeks ago, I placed an order on Jet.com, which is a site that's sort of a smaller version of Amazon that was recently acquired by Walmart. And I was just under the free shipping limit, and I ordered a single-serve yogurt cup just to bump me over. And I get most of my items the next day, and then the day after that, I receive the yogurt in a huge box just with every type of packaging you can imagine, ice packs, disposable cooler, bubble wrap. And I decided to get to the bottom of why that happened, which is, I think, a pretty universal experience for anyone who shops online.
Yeah, and I think as you pointed out, and as you were guessing or scratching your head when you got the box, I mean, they can't be making money
shipping it, you know, $1.69 cup of yogurt and all that bubble wrap and ice packs and stuff.
No, and they were very upfront about that. They didn't try to sugarcoat it. They said, yeah, we lost money sending you that yogurt. And I wouldn't single out Jet here either. I think every company deals with this, and I've had plenty of people write in since the story ran saying, oh, I this happens to me when I order from Amazon or, you know, clothing stores, everybody. You know, it just shows that nobody's really figured out how to profitably ship every online order.
All right, so Jet couldn't get that cup of yogurt, in that initial box that was shipped to your house?
Right, and I think the fact that it needed to be refrigerated was a huge complication for them. You know, everything else I ordered was things like socks and baby wipes and things that you could just kind of throw in a box and not worry about if it rattles around a little or is very, you know, it gets very hot. And the yogurt came from a separate facility where they're testing out grocery deliveries, required different packaging, and, you know, the fact that I had only ordered one thing that needed to be refrigerated made it a very complicated order for them.
Yeah, now there's not software that could say, okay, Brian, we appreciate what you're trying to do here, but you got to order at least 10 of these cups of yogurt to make it worthwhile. Right. Is it not something that can do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that they and a lot of retailers are trying to do on their websites. I noticed when I sort of tried to replicate the order a couple weeks later, and now they only sell it in packs of two.
Oh.
So that's a step in that direction. But ultimately, they're trying to create incentives for me to place a large order on Jet.com, and they're not going to try to stand in my way if I try to buy something. They're just going to sort of try to figure out maybe after the fact how to steer me away from doing it again.
Right, right. It's going to be known as the Brian Baskin rule at Jet.com.
they did tell me I'm possibly the only one who's ever ordered just one cup of yogurt from them.
That's funny. But on a serious note, though, somebody in your story did say free shipping is unsustainable. So, like, well, what happens kind of from here on out?
I think what's going to happen is, you know, retailers feel like they don't have a choice right now. People expect free shipping, and so even if some of these items ship at a loss, they figure they'd rather, you know, not make a profit on a few orders but keep the customer. In the long run, you know, we may either see higher prices for some items online, or retailers who can't create efficient operations going out of business.
I just assumed, I guess, as I shop online infrequently, but somehow the retailer is making its money. But I guess that's not the case when it comes to free shipping.
I think they do if the order is big enough and it comes, if everything comes from one warehouse and they've set up a good distribution network, they can maximize the number of orders that are making a profit for them. But, you know, margins tend to be thinner online, and this is a big reason why.
Thanks, Brian. Brian Baskin at The Wall Street Journal. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter, too, with the username at Gordon Deal. Trips to the post office, as you know, are never convenient. So why not get postage right from your desk with Stamps.com? Stamps.com even gives you special postage discounts you can't get at the post office, including first class, priority mail, express, international, and more. You'll never pay full price for postage again. Here's how Stamps.com works. Using your own computer and printer, you buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Then just hand it to your mail carrier or drop it in a mailbox. It's that easy. No wonder over 600,000 small businesses are already using Stamps.com. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Get started with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Glad you're with us on this Friday, August 19. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Brazilian police say there was no armed robbery of swimmer Ryan Lochte. The remaining athlete in that controversy, by the way, donated $11,000 to get his freedom today. Hillary says Colin Powell told her to use private email. The Obama administration says the cash payment to Iran was leverage, not ransom. Trump regrets some remarks. Begins airing ads today, by the way. Air Force has launched a new satellite system to detect missile and rocket launches around the globe. Samsung's latest smartphone goes on sale today, and why Olympians are getting older. That story in about 20 minutes. Are these the unintended consequences of cheap prices? Police reports from dozens of Walmart stores suggest the number of petty crimes this year will be in the hundreds of thousands. In addition, more than 200 violent crimes, including attempted kidnappings and multiple stabbings, shootings, and murders, have occurred at the nation's 4,500 Walmarts this year, or about one per day. How are police and company officials responding? Bloomberg News reporter Shannon Pettypiece dug up the story. Shannon, what have you found?
I started looking at a few specific, you know, large cities at some police departments and collecting police data on how often are police called to these stores. And in some cases, they're called hundreds of times a year. The police will be called to a store 3, 4, sometimes 6 times a day for everything from shoplifting to drug paraphernalia, prostitution, a fight, you name it. Then started talking to police around the country about, you know, why is there this problem? What can Walmart be doing? What impact is this having on your department as a whole?
Okay, so what's going on here? Why Walmart?
I think there's kind of two themes going here. One is sort of the obvious one. Walmart's big. It's got a lot of people. It's got a lot of stuff. It's in a lot of places. So, you know, there's this natural idea that there would be crime there. But a second part to this is that over more than a decade, Walmart's been cutting costs at its stores. They've been cutting back employees. There's been a lot of complaints that their stores have grown messier. They took their greeters and moved them away from the exits to sort of take away any sort of last layer of deterrent. And until very recently, they've sort of had a very reactive approach to crime. Rather than trying to prevent it, it's been wait till someone commits a crime and then stop them. So they haven't really had a preventative approach. So all those things combined sort of created this really good ecosystem for criminals, whether you were shoplifting or you were someone who was up to no good, who wanted to use their parking lot for your drug deal, or as a place to rob someone's purse or even abduct someone. So it was a little bit of both. I mean, you're never going to totally stamp crime out at Walmart, but from the security consultants I talked to, the police, you know, there was a sense that it doesn't have to be this bad, that crime is not inevitable at a Walmart.
Mm. We're speaking with Shannon Pettypiece, reporter at Bloomberg News. She's got a story entitled Walmart's Out-of-Control Crime Problem is Driving Police Crazy. All right, so I know you open with a focus on a Walmart in Tulsa. Is Tulsa somehow unique here in the broad scheme of things?
In a way it is, but there were stories like Tulsa I heard in a lot of other cities, Springfield, Missouri, Denver, Austin, Long Beach, California, where there's a city that has a store or sometimes two stores where the police are getting called there hundreds of times a year, and it's overwhelming them. And, I mean, I could see it in, there were some small towns I talked to, too, like Port Richey, Florida, for example. Small town, small police force, you don't really have the resources to deal with a store that's bringing in thousands of people a day. But Tulsa, a city of 400,000 people with a very large police force, even them, they felt like, you know, they would sometimes have an officer at the store making nonstop arrests for, you know, 7, 8, 9 hours a day. Goodness. That officer had other things to do in the city. Yeah. He could be doing patrols, community outreach, responding to, you know, calls quicker. So in a way, this Tulsa store is particularly bad, but many, many cities I talked to had a very similar situation.
Is this unique to Walmart, or are there other box stores going through this?
In the data that I looked at, and I looked at a number of cities and probably dozens of different Walmarts, I tried to think of who are the good comparators. So Costco, Target came to mind. No, nothing close to the problem that Walmart has.
That is some story. Bloomberg News reporter Shannon Pettypiece. Glad you could be with us. Time now for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online the past few days. We're joined now live by Google Trends expert Nina Tyler. Good morning, Nina. Start with Louisiana and California with two weather extremes here.
That's right. Two different weather extremes. Devastating floods really rocked Louisiana, and wildfires in California really brought people to Google to learn more, people wanting to know how they can help the Louisiana flood victims, also what caused the flooding, also wanting to know is I-12 open and other main areas and highways in Louisiana.
And how about Ryan Lochte stealing
Ryan Lochte.
The show, right? Oh, focusing everything but on the Olympics.
That's right. The Olympics have become the Ryan Lochte saga. You know, this week after he came out with that story about his alleged gunpoint robbery, you know, things have started to unfold that have proved that this story is less than true, less than factual. An attorney for two of the swimmers, you know, came out and said that they knew that his story was less than truthful. They knew he was lying, but they didn't make the rounds, you know, doing interviews and doing media the way he did. You know, so lots of people wanting to know, why would Ryan Lochte lie? It seems like something so silly to lie about. Just say what really happened. You know, also, you know, is Ryan Lochte back in the U.S., wanting to know where the other swimmers are? And, of course, you know, they'll be making their way back to the U.S. as well.
Boy, he can't hold a press conference to issue an apology fast enough. I mean, that is just waiting to happen for him to begin to try to repair his reputation. That is for sure. Man.
Exactly. And Liar Liar photos, you know, the movie Liar Liar, there have been posters, you know, with his face,
right.
Liar Liar 2, and, you know, people say starring Ryan Lochte. So those have been making their rounds, too. So he has a lot to repair after this.
Yeah, the front page of the New York Post yesterday said Watergate. I mean, they were kind of already onto that story. Why is Justin Bieber making news, by the way? One of my least favorite subjects, just to be, you know, here with full disclosure.
Well, I take it you're not a Belieber, but, you know, Justin Bieber, he deleted his Instagram account this week. He posted photos with his reported new girlfriend, who is Lionel Richie's daughter, Sophia Richie, and this riled up fans. Fans had lots of comments to make, and his ex, Selena Gomez, jumped in also and had kind of a snarky comment. You know, she said, if you can't handle the hate, stop posting pictures of your girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, so there was a lot of back and forth, and he had enough and deleted his Instagram. You know, so people wanting to know, what did Selena Gomez say,
wow,
you know, after the fact? Did Justin Bieber delete his Instagram? You know, and how old is Sophia Richie? She's actually 17 and turns 18 later this month.
Whoa. Wow, he could be like, no, I guess the time has passed. Her prom date or something, but that ship has sailed, perhaps. Wow.
Yeah.
So speaking of celebrities, though, something that did not make your list I saw this morning, you know, as part of the intense research I do, that TMZ had released bikini photos of Kim Kardashian in Mexico. How come that's not on your list?
You know, Kim Kardashian, it seems like the internet can never get enough of her. So there's always a little bit of a trendiness in terms of Kim Kardashian as a topic. And I'm sure we'll start to see a spike, you know, people looking for, you know, her toned bikini body and those kinds of photos, you know, later this week and over the weekend.
We're speaking live this morning with Google Trends expert Nina Tyler. Let me play this clip, this YouTube video, the movie trailer for Arrival.
More objects have landed around the world.
This is one of 12.
I'm never going to be able to speak their words.
Got 2 days. Figure something out.
Set this one up for us, Nina.
That's right. You know, movie trailers are always highly popular on YouTube, and this one is no different. This week's trending YouTube video, it's the official trailer for Paramount Pictures' latest sci-fi thriller, Arrival. I know I can't wait to see it. You know, it's going to be kind of a thriller and very exciting. Lots of people anticipating this, and the video already has nearly 6 million views on YouTube and counting since being released this past Tuesday.
Jeez, very good. Hey, thanks for a few minutes as always. Google Trends expert Nina Tyler with us live this morning. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Networks Advanced Firewall Solutions. Visit AWS Marketplace or barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.
Glad you could be with us on this Friday. It's 8 minutes before the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson visited a devastated Louisiana yesterday as more than 86,000 people have registered for federal disaster assistance in flooding that has ravaged the state for days. Governor John Bel Edwards says more than 30,000 people were rescued. He also defended President Obama against criticism for continuing vacation in Martha's Vineyard instead of visiting Louisiana.
Quite frankly, that is not something that I want to go through right now. And so while the president is welcome to visit, I would just as soon he give us another week or two.
Edwards says he has been in close contact with the administration throughout the disaster. Hillary Clinton's Family Foundation will no longer accept foreign and corporate donations if she's elected president, and will bring an end to its annual Clinton Global Initiative meeting regardless of the outcome of the November election. Former President Bill Clinton made that announcement at a meeting yesterday with foundation staff members. Florida health officials declined to comment on reports that Zika has spread locally in Miami Beach. The Miami Herald quoted sources as saying at least two cases not linked to travel had been traced to Miami Beach, which would make for a second center in Florida for the spread of the virus. The U.S. Olympic Committee is apologizing to the people of Brazil for the behavior of four U.S. swimmers who were involved in an incident that Rio police had said had been falsely reported as an armed robbery. The committee says the behavior of the four swimmers is not acceptable, nor does it represent the values of Team USA or the conduct of the vast majority of its members. Whether it was the Flying Scotsman or Torpedo, the Olympics have always produced nicknames that have defined athletes for years to come. This year's no different. We have the Flying Squirrel, Gabby Douglas, while the entire women's gymnastics team has dubbed themselves the Final Five. Michael Phelps has been called the Baltimore Bullet and the Flying Fish. U.S. rugby player Alev Kelter is called Chippy, thanks to an unfortunate incident with her front tooth, while U.S. sprinter English Gardner is known as Baby Beast.
Have you seen, by the way, the picture that Ellen DeGeneres posted with her on Usain Bolt's back, saying this is the way I'm going to run groceries from now on?
I thought that was hilarious.
I thought it was, too.
People have criticized it.
I know. It's been very controversial, apparently.
I think it's hilarious.
And Usain Bolt, like, shared it.
Yeah.
He thought it was okay, too.
People get so upset about
things. Hypersensitive, man. Mm-hmm. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. No longer are the Olympic Games the exclusive playpen of post-pubescent prodigies like 16-year-old gymnasts and wide-eyed college kids. Good news for those of us who may be considered past our prime. The average age of Olympians has risen from 25 to 27 years old. Wall Street Journal cites Olympic historian Bill Mallon with those numbers. It's a broad shift that can be seen across the marquee Olympic events. The age of swimmers up 13%. Michael Phelps is 31, right? The age of gymnasts is up 12%. Even the age of athletes in track and field is up 5%. I mean, Usain Bolt will be 30 soon. What's up here? These elderly Olympians are the result of a series of forces that have converged in Rio. Advances in sports science are helping preserve skilled but aging athletes. New ideas about training have lengthened their careers. And the surge in funding, fueled by skyrocketing broadcast rights fees for the Olympics, finally makes it possible for competing in the Olympics to be a full-time job. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.